Welcome and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
February the 13th is World Radio Day. The observance was proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and seeks to raise awareness about the importance of radio, facilitate access to information through radio, and enhance networking among broadcasters. Turn your radio on. Irina Bukova is Director General of UNESCO. She has a special message for radio broadcasters across the globe.
The world is changing profoundly, but the marvel of radio remains as striking as ever. Radio is the mass medium that reaches the widest audience, especially the most marginalized parts of our societies. UNESCO works every day to support radio as a tool for peace, as a space for sharing, for dialogue, and for debate. Free, independent, and pluralistic radio is essential for healthy societies. It is vital for advancing human rights and fundamental freedoms. Today, it is not enough to communicate. We must connect people and societies more deeply. Radio is one of the most powerful ways to build bridges of respect and understanding. On this first World Radio Day, let us celebrate this power and make the most of it.
Don't you know that everybody... In its resolution, UNESCO points out that radio has to be recognized as a low-cost medium, specifically suited to reach remote communities and vulnerable people. It also offers a platform to intervene in the public debate, irrespective of people's educational level. Furthermore, the resolution points out radio has a strong and specific role in emergency communication and disaster relief. To mark and to celebrate this brand new annual observance, I decided to take a look at how Christianity's good news is broadcast in Southern Africa, where some 94% of the population listens to radio. To do this, I focused on South Africa's Radio Veritas, which, by the way, also rebroadcasts a selection of features from Vatican Radio's English programme, and whose motto is, "The Good News for a Change." One of the many good reasons I have chosen to feature South Africa's Radio Veritas on this World Radio Day is that the year 2012 will undoubtedly be the most exciting year in its history. In fact, late last year, the board of ICASA, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, which regulates South African communications, after years of requests on behalf of the radio station, finally granted Radio Veritas a license to broadcast on medium wave, with a wavelength that has a substantial broadcast range, reaching as far afield as the Northern Cape and southern Zimbabwe. Many South Africans have expressed their delight and appreciation for this development, including the Archbishop of Durban, Cardinal Wilfred Fox Napier, who listed it among the good news stories of 2011 for the African continent.
I'd just like to say that we had good news towards the end of the year when Radio Veritas eventually got a license from the South African government, you could say, the institution ICASA, that is responsible for issuing licenses for broadcasting. And so we hope that in the near future we'll be able to be broadcasting on medium wave, and hopefully a lot of Vatican Radio stuff will be reflighted via that into our homes, and especially into our cars when we're driving. I mean, that's the part I liked most when we had it for a few weeks on medium wave and FM. It was very good when you're traveling just to be able to listen to Radio Veritas. And if they are flighting Vatican Radio stuff, it'll mean that our contact with the center of the church will be even more intimate.
Meanwhile, the management and technical staff of Radio Veritas are working full steam to develop exciting programs whose content aims to challenge, inform, and inspire all age groups.
I'm Olinda Orlando. I'm from Johannesburg, and I am the station manager of Radio Veritas in Johannesburg.
And I'm Father Emil Blaser. I'm a Dominican priest, and together with Olinda, we founded Radio Veritas way back in 1999. And so we work full-time for the radio station, We have about a staff of 10 people. And it's our passion. We just love working in radio, Catholic radio.
Let's start by talking about Radio Veritas, who you broadcast to and who your listeners are, and how important is radio in South Africa?
Well, let me just kick off here, and Olinda, you can chip in. Way back in the mid-90s, I was working at the Bishops' Conference. I was Associate Secretary General, and I was also the press officer for the Bishops for 7 years. And we produced a program, a television program, for a year. And I presented that and produced it together with a friend. And it was a very expensive exercise. So towards the end of that year, 1995, I think it was, I said to the bishops, unless you're going to underwrite this program and support it financially, we have to cut it. So I suggested then that we go into radio. And to cut a long story short, they agreed to that. And eventually, when I left the Bishops' Conference in 1999, I asked the bishops, could it be put under the auspices of a religious congregation, hoping that it would fall under the Dominicans, because I'm a Dominican. And it did. Eventually it was handed to us. We consulted all the different religious superiors, and they agreed that it would be taken over by us. And so it falls under the auspices of the Dominican order. And when I was given the green light, the first person I went to was Olinda. And she will remember that. And I said, Olinda, we're going to start a radio station. And she was thrilled, because she's a very creative person, a very hardworking person. And I've known Olinda for many, many years. We've worked together in Marriage Encounter and all sorts of things. So we were very excited about that. And we started off in a very small way. We had a little money, which we inherited from the Bishops' Conference at the time. And we hired a studio to start with and an office, which was very small. And we did that for about 6 months. And then we moved into a building which was owned by the Dominicans. And we set up our studios, and we started working there for, I would say, the best part of seven or eight years. Until eventually somebody said, we're going to give you money to buy a building, which was wonderful. So we looked around, and eventually we found the building, and together with the Knights of Da Gama in South Africa, we bought the building, which is now our own. And then we decided to set up our studios. And I needed money to set up studios, and we didn't have it. And I thought, if I went to funding agencies overseas, they would tell us to wait a year before we get any response at all. So eventually I really just made a list of all the wealthy Catholics I knew in South Africa. And I went to them and I said, I need 1.5 million rand. And if we could get 9 or 10 people in South Africa to give me 100,000 each, we'll be able to do this ourselves. But we had 8 people to give us 100,000 each. And within 2 months, we raised over a million rand, 1.2 million, which was enough to start the radio station. So on the practical side, that's how Radio Veritas came to be. Our concern was to reach the simple people and the majority of the Catholics in South Africa. We didn't have a license, so what we wanted to do was to try and reach as many as possible.
And this objective has in fact become a reality. As I was mentioning earlier, Wenikaza finally granted the station the license it had been asking for such a long time, giving it the technical capacity, together with the internet, of course, of really reaching across the region.
And so we reached the whole of Southern Africa. And we have listeners in many countries of Southern Africa, but mainly in South Africa.
Yes. So you said the whole of Southern Africa, which means you reach up to
Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Southern Tanzania.
Malawi.
I think it is.
Yes.
Southern Tanzania.
Yes, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's quite a big footprint.
It is.
Unfortunately, we don't reach the whole of Africa.
So tell me a little bit about your programs. What?
Linda's our station manager, and she used to be our production manager, so she's fully informed about our programs.
Well, we do devotional programs, and we have a live mass in the studio every day. We try and do programs which speak of where we are, speak to the needs of people. So, for example, we have a program in Sesotho every day, which is a program for domestics, informing them of their rights, labor laws. It's a real service orientated. We obviously have a lot of scripture programs. We have magazine programs into which we put features. I think we do have a lot of inspirational stuff. We have a wonderful youth program run by the youth, done by the youth themselves. Mm. We like to encourage the youth because they're going to be our future broadcasters and they are going to be the future rulers of the land eventually. So we like to encourage them to get involved in the real issues.
We also have a classical music program every day, an hour-long program. I do a program every day, which is the evening prayer of the church, followed by nice relaxing music to the top of the hour. And that's a very popular program.
I've heard it's a very popular program.
We do news.
You do news?
Yes, we do news twice a day. And then, of course, we do carry the Vatican Radio English half hour.
We're very honoured. Now, you were saying earlier that you have this program in Sesotho, which brings up an issue. South Africa is home to many languages. How do you deal with that?
We try to give as many languages as possible, but it's not easy. And so we do, in the African languages, we do Sesotho and Zulu. Then we do Afrikaans, 1 hour a week. Yes. We do Portuguese, 3 hours a week.
3 hours
actually
a week.
Now.
Yes.
Because we try and cater for everyone. We feel we have to. The lingua franca of the station is English. But we do try and cater for all Catholics. And of course, you know, in South Africa now, with things having changed, there are a lot of French-speaking, Portuguese-speaking people who have moved into South Africa. So we need to cater, and many, many of them are Catholics.
We did also do a program in French at one stage. We haven't now for some time. But I think we want to get back to a French program again, because we have a lot of people from French-speaking Africa in South Africa.
How important is radio in Southern Africa?
Interesting now. The facts are that 94% of the population actually listen to radio. So it is very important, because it's the poor people in South Africa, the rural people, who listen to radio. That's all they have. Down the line, we hope one day to move into digital radio. And once we move into digital radio, I think there's going to be the world is the limit. People are hungry for spirituality. And I remember in the beginnings, I always said, well, you know, on radio, we're not going to have the mass and the rosary and all those sorts of things. And there are many, many people who find these devotions, if I can put it that way, on radio, very inspiring. And people are hungry, and they want to be fed, and they want us to share our spirituality with them to give them hope. And especially in South Africa, I think we need to give people hope. Because more and more people are leaving the country. They're saying there's no hope, we're going to go the same way as Zimbabwe, and so on and so forth. And I think we really just need to reach out to people and try and touch their lives where they are, and to give them hope and something to look forward to in the future. Because if we just broadcast bad news, our little motto is the good news for a change. And it's a catchy little phrase, but we really need to give good news to people and to try and inspire them and to help them in their lives.